Good morning.
Yes, there's lots of people here. Yay! Okay, this morning we'll focus on Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. I'll just read it out first. It's about the Good Samaritan. And the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan who was on a journey came up on him. When he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hand?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy towards him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Lord God, just ask that you to speak through me, and I lift up this EMP to you. I'm here to serve you and really to speak your message, Lord God. So if anything that is ungodly in me, I may ask that you to cast that aside and let my words be your words and speak your truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first came across this passage, I actually felt this is such a well-known passage. What more can I add? And well, for me, I guess God showed me something that's quite different for me. And I came across it thinking about this when just on the first sentence it talked about, and the lawyer stood up and put him to the test. I was reflecting upon the test I have recently experienced. Actually, it probably wasn't a test, but I felt it was a test. So, for example, when I just joined SP as staff, pretty much in the first week, some friends asked me, "What is your vision for local outreach? What's your plan for your ministry?" And I was actually thinking, wow, this question is so big, I'm not ready for it. I really felt that was a test for me. I didn't want to look bad, I didn't want to say the wrong thing. And I end up just thinking I better be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's in James 1. But actually, I knew that that was actually talking about anger. So I was really didn't say much. So I wrote, because I was actually quite fearful that I would say something wrong, and I was quite timid as well. So I didn't really engage in a conversation or contribute initially. So when I read this text about Jesus being put to the test, how did he respond to challenges and tests? And here, I think ultimately he responded in love, and I just explain this a bit more. Because when you talk about teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I think throughout, even before that, Jesus knew what's in people's heart, that there's so many people want to discredit him and want to show that he is not a prophet or like really good person, that they want to kill him. So these things are really a test to challenge him, challenge his credibility, challenge what he say. And despite this, if I knew people are coming up to me to challenge me, I would personally actually either be fearful or be very angry. Like if I were Jesus, I would probably be thinking, I'll be so angry that another person is coming to challenge me. Or I'll feel very frustrated that, not another one. But Jesus, how Jesus responded is very different. Jesus responded in love. And how does he do that? He walked with this person to find out an answer for him, to shine more light that will draw people to God. So in reply, Jesus on verse 26, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? So Jesus is walking with this guy to find out, to answer this question, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And the guy, of course, Jesus knew the guy knows the answer, so he asked him back. And verse 27 is a reply from the lawyer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. So, yes, Jesus knew that he knew the answer, so he redirected back to him and engaged him with it. But then one of the strange things he said to me was, do this and you will live. I was thinking, isn't he asked about it, how do I inherit eternal life? And why does he just say, do this and you will live? And when I actually look up the words in Greek, you will live, it actually, one form of it is talking about living forever, being spiritually alive. So, yeah, that makes a bit more sense. So he's answering these questions. And then the next thing, and who is my neighbor? As I was thinking that, I thought, neighbor, isn't that like quite an obvious answer? So when I look up the words in the Greek, it's like plesion, which means someone close by. So yeah, definition of neighbor. So I thought, yeah, the guy would knows the answer, but Jesus actually used this opportunity to shine more light on this law, this Mosaic law about love your neighbor, and love God. So he go and explain that in the Good Samaritan parable. And yeah, I'll just read out some verses. Verses by verses. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I was reflecting on this priest. Who is this priest? Priest is actually a descendant of Aaron and someone who would be responsible for the sacrifices. I think that's from number 8, number is 18. So he's a holy person. But is it really as bad as the verses might suggest? So why would he, why would this holy person walk by someone who looked like dead and not do anything? And as I was meditating on that, it occurred to me that maybe just out of goodness of the heart of the potential, the heart that the priest has, is that the priest is responsible for the offering, so his duty is to serve God and serve the people. If he actually touched this man and helped him, or by checking him if he's alive and help this man, on the act of touching him, he would become unclean. And what does that mean? If he becomes unclean, that means he cannot go and serve the people and go to the sanctuary to give offerings to God for 7 days. That's what they're supposed to do. So, and on that note, I was thinking, he was potentially putting his, or partly potentially putting, I need to serve God. I need to serve these people. That's why I'm not going to help this guy or check to see if he's alive. But then, is that a selfish thing? Potentially, actually, because he's putting the duty of just being legalistic to walk away from an opportunity to love the neighbor, which we heard earlier. But then it may be a difficult decision for him, but that's what he ended up choosing. And at the end, we see that the Samaritans made the best choice, so it seems. And then next, the next person is a Levi. So likewise, a Levi also, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. So again, Levi is a holy group of people because their duty is working in the sanctuary and serves God as well. So similarly, this holy person may also have this struggle that, do I risk getting unclean and I can't serve God in the sanctuary because once he becomes unclean, he needs to stay away from it for 7 days. So again, maybe he's putting his self-interest of, I have to serve God rather than meeting the immediate needs right now of this man. And then verse 33, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. A Samaritan is someone, the Jews who do not get along with, or actually they probably hate each other, and the Jews think it's an outcast. And this stranger, this person who hates Jews, saw this Jew, and he felt compassionate. I looked up the Greek word for compassionate, and it translated to something inside him moved with sympathy. So it's something inside him moved with sympathy. And I really think that that is actually the love of God inside this person that moved him to do something. So on verse 34, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And they put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 34, I think it's actually an example of what we can do for someone who get injured, and this is Why do I say that? As I looked up the words for robber, or thinking about the word robber, robber could actually mean evil influence. So, for example, if, we know that the devil steal, kill, and destroy. So the robber steals. So I was thinking that when we meet someone who is injured by a robber or by an evil influence, the first thing we can do would be able, like from the Samaritan's example, would be to bandage up his wound. The first thing we should do would be to address the wound of the person. And it's also by pouring oil and wine on them. So pouring oil and wine, I think for me, it occurred to me that oil is a symbol for Holy Spirit, and wine would be blood of Christ. So how do we address these wounds? Apart from physically address this wound, spiritually, we need the Holy Spirit to work in this wound so that it can be healed. And also, the blood of Christ as well. The blood of Christ symbolizes forgiveness of sin. And I also felt that when we are hurt, or when we see someone's hurt, there's usually caused by someone, and maybe themselves as well, because they blame themselves. So we need to use the blood of Christ to seek forgiveness and cover ourselves with blood, and also the person who we may be ministering to engage them with forgiveness with whoever they feel hurt them. And also potentially ask God's forgiveness too, because they might themselves might have done something wrong as well. And the next thing is he put him on his own beast. And if I look at the NIV version, a beast is like a donkey. So the example of the Samaritan, for me, he would be saying that he sacrificed his own comfort by walking along the road, and he's actually put this person on a place that's more comfortable for this journey together. So in terms of healing someone, we need to give some sacrifice as well in order to help someone. So this may be comfort, this may be time. And then the next thing is then, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. As I was meditating, inn symbolize a healing place, a place of recovery. So as we walk along with someone for healing, we need to bring that person to a place of recovery and take care of them. So it's not just one time healing and then just pray for that. It's also the next bit of time where we see their needs and continue to engage with the hurt person. Verse 35, on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, whatever more you spend, and I will, and when I return, I will repay you. Well, 2 denarii, okay, 1 denarii is about 1 day's wage, so I'm just trying to make it simple. Let's say, we make $24,000 a month, so that's 24 working days. And I think that makes one each day, $1,000. Because if we think about it, we work 6 days a week, that's 7 days is Sabbath, right? So if we make $1,000 a day, it means that 2 denarii could potentially mean that, oh, we could potentially give $2,000 to a sense of sacrifice and offering to continue to help this person when we're not able to be there. So not to give this person, but like support them in the place where they're healing and the place where they get recovery. So this, and gave them to this innkeeper, so to ask him to take care of him. And it's not only that, it also suggests that if this person incur more expenses, we are also to continue to spend and repay this innkeeper. So in this healing place, we can support this person with some money to enable them to continue to be healed. And also, if that person needs to spend more time than we have initially committed, we should also go back and continue to support this person a bit more, whatever they need. And then the last bit about which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell into Robert's hand? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. Then Jesus says to him, go and do the same. Yeah, the one who showed mercy towards him. It showed me how much that we need to actively be doing something. Show mercy. It's not just we feel compassionate and don't do anything. It's the one who actually see the need and do something about it. And you know what? This is actually a commandment, because at the end, Jesus say, go and do the same. So whenever we see someone who's in need, may be hurt by another person because of evil deeds or influences, I really feel that this is an example of what God wants us to do and follow. And in these different verses, it shows us like a process and procedure of how much of an extra mile we could potentially walk with this person, even if we don't see them. And for me personally, I haven't actually done that yet, not that far. But for me, I think like it's God's revelation to me that, wow, this is how much God wants to respond to loving a person. And he told it as a story about a Samaritan, and he also used this story to show how we can respond with love. Even in the midst that we may feel challenged, or we may be fearful when someone asks us things that we're not prepared for. So, yeah, I really feel the message is about responding in love. If Monica would just come up to start the music, and I'll just ask all of us to firstly thank God for being a great example of what love is by sending his son down to humbly save us and die for us, and set so many good examples of how to live a life of love and responding in love. So yes, please meditate on how God wants us to respond on love. To thank God that we have a humble King, a humble King who come down from heaven and to show us what we are to do in all circumstances, whether we are persecuted or we feel challenged or we are tested, or people want to make us angry, that the best thing to do, the only thing He wants us to do, is to respond in love. So I just ask that you to continue to think about this, meditate on this, on how God wants you to respond in love. Maybe just a baby step at a time. Or maybe following this Good Samaritan example is something you are ready for. You are ready to give up your time, your comfort, a significant of your money, actually, because two denarii is almost like 10% of your income, 2 days out of 24 working days, and continue to support the people you love. Even you don't know them, you still want to love them. I guess next we'll just turn to the community slides first. For the first slide, we continue to lift up our brother and sister who are suffering from cancer or chemo and radiation treatment, because they are, or those that recovering from surgery, because even in chemotherapy that you have gone through, you are weak. Excuse me. The person's actually recovering from all the damaged cells that's being killed by chemo, because the chemotherapy killed the good cells and bad cells as well. So it takes a period of time, several months, for the body to function properly. And it is a tough time too. Even though you are healed from the cancer, if the radiation therapy goes well, the body still suffers from many things that's not working. So ask that you pray for full healing. The whole body. In the next slide, we not only pray for physical healing, and we also pray for the most important thing is for these brothers and sisters to know Jesus, because as Jesus entered their life, they are healed. They are healed, may not be physically straight away, but they are healed spiritually, so that they can have eternal life. So I ask that you to pray for the needs of these people, this great need of loving them, that you see these needs, that you love them by praying for the salvation, and pray for the physical healing too. Also, I want to pray for those who know Jesus and have other physical ailments. And there are many people in this category, and these are brothers and sisters in Christ who also need our prayer, who also need us to respond in loving them. Especially Pete Sam, who's away on vacation and just recovering and getting recovering from the shoulder, and also physically just have some rest as well. So please pray for him. Sister who are searching for job. Yeah, and maybe searching not only for job, but searching for a purpose in the marketplace, in the jobs that they are going to do. Could you also ask God to speak to them about their calling in life and how to implement and be effective minister, priests for the firm that they're going to join, that as they go to interviews, they would reveal, or God will reveal their Christ-likeness, and let the interviewer know that these are great people, godly people that we want to be part of the firm too. Next night on Saturday, the first thing on our mind actually these days in Hong Kong is the Occupy movement. That just saw a newspaper this morning said that there's like 100,000 people came out to the streets again because there's no talk between the government and the student leaders, and we just really want to pray for a peaceful resolution and a breakthrough for this, a breakthrough for Hong Kong spiritually, and breakthrough for this movement and the government leadership too, that both sides can get something very good out of this, that they would know God, God will reveal himself to them too. We want to lift up Indonesia, the Phoebe ministry here, led by Pastor Samad Kupan, on a place we often go to visit for mission trips, as well as SP Singapore. That's Singapore still needs a pastor there, so just continue to live up to find the right leadership for our community in Singapore. Also want to lift up the education ministry, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU, the college ministry. I've come across statistics which says that the vast majority of Christians, that's more than 50%, actually comes to know Jesus when they are under 18. So really just pray for God to the children and the teenagers to know who God is and to want to follow Him, because we know that we as Christian brothers and sisters know that God is so good. We don't want them to only know Jesus much later, that they would have suffered many things without the help of God, without the help of Jesus. We want Jesus to be in their life, so please pray for more and more people to come to know Jesus in the children Noah's Ark ministries, and bring more people to SPU and SP Youth as well. To continue to be faithful to a prophetic word that we have for SP 2.0 for the new building, that there's a donor that's going to bless our community and bless the brothers and sisters in Christ in Hong Kong, that there will be a new building for SP. So please ask God to release this donor, that God will speak to him or her to come to SP and say, this is what God has mandated me to do, is to bless you with this new building. This weekend there are many things happening. There's GIC this morning, EMP Bible study, prison now is actually later on in our first week of November. Also Sunday service is the Prophecy Sunday. We are preparing the decorations today, and the team is still working on the message, particularly Ricky and Janelle and I, and the outreach teams are working on the sharings and the decorations. Also, yes, lift up Noah's Ark, the worship going to be led by Jeff. Bless him with the songs and a good time with communion with God as he practice with the team today and for tomorrow. Also for the hospitality ministry, SP Youth, Yahweh, and all the meetings we have today and tomorrow, that it will be honoring to God and pleasing to God. Gathering for Robinson Bay, Mawa, Mata, member of the house church will have koinonia with God and with fellowship with each other, and that they will come closer to loving God and knowing God through the house church gathering, where it's a safe place to be vulnerable to each other and to just share one another's burden as well as joy. Lord God, we want to thank you so much today that you have reminded us that you are a God of love, and love is all you want to do, and that's all you want us to do. Whatever happens, you want us to respond in love, Lord God. So we're thankful for that, because through love, we not only experience you, Lord God, but experience the love in our brothers and sisters, and this is so enriching and so touching and so good. We want to experience it, we want to share it. So Lord God, please help us to respond in love every day, and show us how we can do this practically, even as a baby step or big step like the Good Samaritan did. So as we continue to pray for our personal time, please meditate on this, and I just ask also God to bless you for this weekend and to keep you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name now we pray. Amen.